All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Hello, everyone. My name is Ray Bocknight. I'm Senior Director of Customer Success at First Up. And some of you might know I'm a former customer of First Up during my time at MGM Resorts International. And we are so excited to talk to you about a super important topic, which is putting the front line first. And so why are we talking about that, and why is that so important? And I'm just going to share a couple stats and then introduce you to our panelists today. Well, if you did not know, 80% of the global workforce is actually considered to be frontline. But the issue is 84% of those individuals are considered not to be properly informed. So there's a huge gap that we as a company in First Up and working with many of you are trying to address, and better informing those team members in order to help drive the business of your organization. And so to help us discuss best practices with that, we have two absolutely amazing individuals. We have with us Kirsten Duluc from Altria. Let's give Kirsten a round of applause. And we have Connie Vivret from Bunge as well. Let's give Connie a round of applause. All right. And if you're, in case you're wondering, why do they both have sashes? Well, this is what happens when you're among the very first to register at a tune. Kirsten is the first person to have registered for a tune, and then Connie is among the top 10 to have registered. So let's give them another round of applause for that.
Way to go.
So this could be you at one of our events, being one of the first to register. All right, so the way that we're going to flow today is that we're going to allow both Connie and Kirsten to share some slides that outline some of the best practices, the things that they are doing in order to drive engagement among frontline employees. And then I'm going to ask a couple questions, but really, we are here for all of you. So I hope as they're talking, you're jotting down questions, and you'll have a chance to ask them those questions. And I would encourage you, if you have tips as well, please go ahead and share. Again, we want this to be a family-type environment when we're sharing secrets and best practices together. Does that sound good? All right, so without further ado, I'm going to allow Kirsten to share with us all the various things that Altria is doing to engage the front line. So thanks, Kirsten. You're up.
Thank you. All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Kirsten Duluc. I'm from Altria, and I'm just very excited to be here today, albeit a little bit nervous, but still very excited. So about 5 years ago, I made the move from quality over to communications and just absolutely fell in love with it, about connecting with our frontline workforce and communicating with them and keeping them in the know. For those who do not know what Altria is, it is a Fortune 200 consumer packaged goods company. We are headquartered in Richmond, Virginia, which is where I am located. And we have 7 manufacturing locations across 4 different states. You might recognize the operating companies as Philip Morris, John Middleton, U.S. Smokeless Tobacco, and Helix, our innovation company. Although we cover the whole country nationwide with our sales force, we have about 6,300 employees, and about 1,800 of them are frontline manufacturing employees. Unwired, don't have email, don't have opportunity to check email if they do have it. And another note, throughout this, you're going to see 2 different names for our program. We started out at the Manufacturing Center as PMU Connect, and then it morphed into We Connect as we took it enterprise-wide. So where I fit in here is I do the communications for about 1,400 of those 1,800 non-wired employees for 4 different operating companies. This is the layout of our one facility. It's got like almost 3 million square feet under roof, 11 different buildings. If you're going to go take a walk around it, it would take almost 2 miles to walk around it. So needless to say, communicating with them has always been a challenge. Very far apart. To add complexity, we have 4 different operating companies underneath those roofs. They all require different messaging at different times. It's like translating for 4 different countries in a way. So it might be like, oh, you just have one location, not too bad. It does get a little bit more complex. So just like all of you in here, I'm assuming you've have tried all the things to communicate with your frontline employees. Posters, newsletters, clings, passed down communications. We have too. We've tried everything. We had stuff everywhere. We would plaster it all around our facility. And what we realized we were doing is actually creating a lot of noise. Nobody really knew where to look, what to ask. They didn't know what was going on outside because it was only like need-to-know communications that were being posted for them to see. Did some research. I was about, very new in my role, and I was like, there's got to be a better way, right? So we launched First Up in July of 2021, just within our manufacturing environment for one of our operating companies. We have a really robust reward and recognition program, and it's one of our main forms of currency at the MC, a manufacturing center. So we incentivized it with that, so they got $75 worth of like reward points for signing up. Another thing we did is we also used some of our union leadership in a lot of our promo materials, which helped build a little bit of the trust there by seeing people they know and trust. And the benefit for me was that it inadvertently turned them into First Up experts on how to sign somebody in for the first time using our single sign-on system, because people saw them on the posters and assumed they knew how to do everything. So at our launch, it ended up at 30%. Not too bad for one day. It was a one-day event at our food trucks. Was I happy? A little bit, kind of. But I was like, we can do better. We did another campaign further down the road where we got up to 50% when we did Yetis. So we actually have three forms of currency at our factory, and it is reward and recognition points, money, T-shirts, which you have to take into account so many sizes, and Yetis. So we went with Yetis the next time. One size fits all, right? So there we were at 50%. Where we saw our biggest jump in adoption was from our holiday party. It is an epic party. We had not had one in 3 years. What is important to know is in the past, in order to get tickets, people would have to walk down to the company store. They would open at like 8 o'clock on a Thursday. Not all the shifts are there at that time, so it wasn't equitable. We do not have enough tickets to go around the entire factory, right? So not everybody can come. And we do make them purchase tickets, which we donate to a good cause, the money from it. But it was a very manual, labor-intensive process, not equitable. So for the first time, I got to do some fully exclusive content, which like made my little First Up heart so happy. We jumped 14% in a matter of 3 weeks of having the ticket sales exclusively on First Up. We used a third-party ticket site. We didn't post the URL anywhere else. It was not available because we also used First Up as our authentication system to get into the right topic. So we didn't want people bypassing that with QR codes to a ticket site. But the best part of this, yes, we jumped 14% in 3 weeks for the party, is they got in, right? They got in, they started to really see the value in it. And I know it said we were 84%, we're at 86% adoption now. This was a couple weeks ago.
That's really good.
And that's just with our hourly workforce in my locations. That's not the entire platform. But what's, I think, the biggest success we've seen is people come into the platform now. They come to find out the things they want to know. Yes, they want to know when our theme park day is. They want to know about the Christmas party. They want to see stories about their coworkers. They post their own content, like thanking us for like classes we've offered that they've taken on their own times. But I really believe in my heart that our biggest key to our success, and it's scary for a lot of people, is not policing the comments or the content that goes on there. Our employees have questions. They might not always be the most eloquent when they're phrasing them. They might be scary at first, but they also deserve to have a voice and get a response. So we do respond to all of them. It gives us the opportunity to like provide more context around an article they might not agree with. or a business decision that was made. We can provide them more context and get to explain it a little bit more for them. But I would say that like our biggest success goes beyond the numbers. Sorry, I looked at the clock. But because now, like when people come to our town halls, our coffee house sessions where they can ask questions of leadership, they're no longer asking questions about like, why can't I have a trash can in this area? Why can't I get paid more money? Right? They're asking like really informed decision, like questions about our business and where we're going as an organization. And it's just been amazing for me to see that. So thank you all. And I'm gonna turn it over to Connie.
Yep. Well done.
And look at my time.
Okay, hello, my name is Connie and I work for Bungie. And while a lot of people mispronounce her name, I think we're Bungie. We have nothing to do with fun things like bungee jumping, but in fact, we are the world's leader in oilseed processing. So our ingredients are in almost all of the food that's in the middle of the grocery store, and many things that you eat or drink today have Bungie in them somewhere. And so I'm representing Corp Comms. I work for Global Communications, and Bungie is 23,000 employees. 30% of those are non-wired in facilities, more than 300 facilities in over 40 countries. And we are also a 200 plus year old company. So I'm working with lots of really big numbers. But really the most important thing is that we need all of our employees, wired and non-wired, to be able to understand what we do. We have a deck that's 30 pages, okay, to describe what we do, but really at the heart of it, we say we connect farmers to consumers to deliver essential food, feed, and fuel to the world. And every 23,000 of us have a place in that lofty goal. So again, I'm working for Corp Comms. I'm a communicator at heart, but I have the very cool job to own the digital platforms and manage those platforms that our communications team, which were about 20 people, so pretty small for 23,000 in several regions. So that would be the First Up platform, yay, which we just brought in about a year ago, maybe a little more, although we're a brand new program. I'll explain that in a minute. Also our intranet platform and the platform for Bungie.com. So it's really cool that I'm owning both the First Up platform and the intranet platform, and right now trying to balance both of those. But again, I'm a communicator at heart, and I chose this picture because here we are pushing everybody in the corporate headquarters, you know, like forcing them, stopping them to come and, you know, join the app. Probably a lot of you in the room have been in this type of picture yourself. So, you know, lots of swag and stuff like that. So I'm gonna keep going here. Again, just like Kirsten showed, and just like all of you know, reaching those non-wired employees at those 300 plus facilities in 30 plus countries is really difficult. In the slide there, the picture at the bottom, you see one of our communications people in a margarine factory in Brazil. And there are like bulletin boards and things like that where people wash their hands. But you know, none of that's real time, right? We have manager cascade, which we just hear doesn't. They don't cascade, right? We have these toolbox talks or stand-up meetings, which can take 2 weeks to get through at one facility with all of the different shifts and ups and downs and all of that. And so really the main problem, as you all know, is, you know, not just timely communication over multiple shifts and busy people, but our company moved from a very, very regional operating system to more of a global one Bungie approach. And it became essential that all of our employees, even those in the facilities, especially those in the facilities, truly feel like they're part of one global Bungie. And to be able to see how the work they do at their plant, maybe it's an oil crushing plant, or maybe they are a bottling plant where they're bottling giant, you know, things of oil and all that, truly making them understand how their work ladders up to the big global strategy. And so hence we brought in First Up, which we call GoConnect. So Kirsten's challenge is what feels like multiple countries in one facility. Our challenge was to get all of those plants online as quickly as possible. So very, very conservative company at the crossroads of agriculture and manufacturing. Bringing in a mobile app was a really big deal. We had to start with pilots. We had to convince that this was something that was going to work. We had to get the budget for it. So it feels to me like we've been on this platform now for almost 2 years, but our global launch was in April. So we did some really interesting things in our pilot. Happy to talk with you about that at a later date or later tonight. But then my boss, the global communications lead, said, I want every single one of those plant employees, when they open up that app, to see not only global news for the first time ever, but relevant hyper-local content for each individual and get it done fast, right? So that was really exciting. And so believe it or not, over the course of between pretty much April and now, we have 110 different topics, and that encompasses almost every single plant employee at Bunge. So we're thrilled about that. Now, what are we learning? Little bit different. I cannot come anywhere near a 74% success rate. And Ray says that's okay with me telling this story, right? We are still in adoption mode. All right, so every time we do something, so pretty much each one of those monthly dots there, we see a 3 to 5% increase over the whole platform. So I'm crying, like, this is terrible. But then suddenly we started looking at some of these plants that have 75, 90% adoption rate. What are they doing? Mostly we find it's cultural, right? Or they've got a great plant leader who already knew how to do a lot of this stuff. So for those plants, we're now asking our corp comms leads, hey, get out there and help them go from adoption to engagement. The rest of us are still really working on engagement. And you know what? That's okay. We went big, we went broad, and so it's going to take a while to get everybody. It's a brand new platform, right? So we're getting more and more comfortable with this. And so I just wanted to share through the rest of the deck just some of the launch materials. The typical posters probably that you've all done. I don't know if anyone's kind of new or thinking about the platform, but we really have done everything that First Up told us to do. We have followed their playbook to a T, but what I've really learned is I can't copy any other company, right? We had to figure out what worked for us. So lots of experimentation. So we settled on something that looks like this. And there, up there in the upper left-hand corner, that's our global lead, my boss. And what was fascinating to us was she had the great idea. She still thinks it's a great idea that she could do an iPhone video at her desk and put it in the platform. We were like, woohoo, okay, she did that. That silly video was like the number one post in our platform for weeks because we really saw, again, what First Up will say, get those leaders in there, get them authentic, get them real, get them at their desk, just being themselves. So we try to do more and more of that. Every time a plant launches, the plant manager does a welcome video. Those are some of our funniest, weirdest, and most interesting videos in the platform, especially the ones who tell our communicators, I'll never do this. You'll never see me on that thing. And the next thing you know, they're doing a cute video where they've got a Bunge hard hat on and all that stuff. Whoops, I went the wrong way. Again, following the First Up playbook, we did the landing page. I love that thing. Everybody goes there. If you need to know anything about the app, we sent everybody there. We did a video, which is super fun and peppy and all that, and really different for Bunge. And then I even got away with, and this was super hard, even in the HQ, we could do mirror clings that kind of played off that wash your hands theme. We tried so hard to get floor clings and all that safety. Somebody will slip and fall, whatever. It's all true. I shouldn't say whatever. But so we found other ways to bring in, which, you know, you may not be understanding this, but that mirror cling was like the most exciting thing I've ever done as a communicator because it wasn't a poster. And then, seriously, you get the fatigue there, right? And so what we're seeing now, though, is we don't need posters. You know, we can put the poster up the first time, but now our employees in pretty far-flung regions of the world, at least from my perspective where I am in St. Louis, Missouri, they are using the app to celebrate and to spread the word about their own launches. So in this middle picture here, you see our West Africa team. They're one of our newest teams on board, and they're holding up their swag, and they're saying, you know, comment and like, calls to action, CTA. These people work in a plant. I love that, right? So those little C communicators. And then I just wanted to share with you something else that has fascinated us as a communication team, and that is we're discovering that a whole new type of content is emerging through this app, and we call it a third space. So it's kind of like not the office, not your home, it's Starbucks, it's that third space, right? So this isn't quite email content, and it's definitely not like stodgy internet content, and I can say that because I run the thing, but we are finding like that item number two, Corp Comms reached out and asked to use that photo in some of our materials. That's a picture of a customer walking a canola field in Canada, but it's from the perspective of the account manager's truck with his dog. So through the dog ears, you know, it's like so real, right? And then the very last item, number five, interns posing for a selfie while they still work at Bungie, instead of 3 weeks later when we do some video on the internet and these kids are long gone, right? They're still there, they're making it happen. Item four, you scroll, you see an inside behind the scenes story of a CEO video. We would have never done that before, but as you scroll, look at that right underneath when I took this screenshot, I realized, and there's a bunch of proud guys in Argentina, you know, wearing their uniform, showing off something special that they did with balloons. It just makes us, I don't know, it's like poet Ali said earlier, you know, the energy. I get goosebumps looking at these. And I mentioned to you earlier about some of our facilities that have high adoption, but, you know, engagement need to be worked on. China was one of those, very social. Social, 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 selfie, selfie. Wasn't doing it. So our team talked to the team in China about adding more business type of content, and now we're seeing a lot more things like great honors for reaching certain levels of improvements, people taking a training, big deal. It's somebody sitting at a table that looks just like this in China. Oh, it looks just like this in China. They're just like us. They have to take tests. We love that, right? And so as they've done more business content, they have improved their engagement. And so lastly, very quickly, being at corporate comms, we push out a lot of campaigns in the past. Again, those campaigns would hit the intranet 3 weeks later. If we had people, hey, show us yourself doing something for quality and food safety, and you could be an everyday hero. People at the plants would send those pictures through one person. You know, he or she's sending them, and again, a month, 2 months later, we do a video, which none of the people at the plant would ever see because they don't have access to the intranet or Outlook or any of that. Now in the app, we can say, hey, people at plants, this is directed at you. Take your pictures in real time, post them to the app, and this topic was open for anyone to follow. So everyone at Bungie could see that that third picture there, that is a plant manager standing there in a superhero costume getting with the program, right? And so on Go Canuck, truly everyone can be an everyday hero. And for our non-wired employees, this is a total game changer that they can have the information they want on the device they want at the time and place that's right for them in the language that they want to read it. And then for the rest of us, it truly is a whole new way to connect with the vast world of Bungie. That's our story.
That's awesome.
A little long form.
So we've had a chance to talk quite a few times before today's session. And one of the things that we recognize is in this discussion, you have the benefit of hearing from a central communicator in Connie and then a regional communicator in Kirsten. So we get both different perspectives. And of course, we're here to celebrate the successes and what you all have achieved. But we also want to talk about the challenges and gleaning how to address those challenges as well. And as you were talking, Kirsten, one challenge that we also discussed before is sometimes the trust issues related to frontline workers. And I was so impressed that you were able to get the union's team members also to support your efforts too. So we'd love for you to discuss how you've overcome that challenge of addressing the trust issues that often are there among the frontline workers. What type of tactics have you utilized?
So I really think it comes down to having a good relationship with our union, first of all. So I did work with them on it and let them know. But using them in the photos just gained like an automatic type of trust within the workforce. And then even better was having other people see them using it and commenting on it and liking things in the platform. And then they became like trusted people for people to go to for help to get it because they wanted to know what they had. And once they realized there were no like repercussions and nobody was tracking them down, like if they were in a hallway instead of on their module, right? Then it just grew from there.
And I'm sure that, you know, if there were questions, yeah, or if the Altru was trying to keep track of where they're going, which I was talking to someone earlier about that type of stuff. Those type of rumors getting out, you're able to leverage those union workers to help address those. And because they had that relationship, I imagine that went much further than perhaps you say.
You tell it. It was in our FAQs too, that we're not going to use it to track them, but I don't know how many people actually read those. So.
And then for you, Connie, to your point as far as your adoption rate, that you're continuing to roll this out and really bringing that adoption up, and why it's totally fine to say that is because you're doing a global launch. Mm-hmm. You said how many, I think it was it 70, 40, 70?
We have about 23,000 employees, and about 30% are non-wired.
Yeah.
And we focus on wired and non-wired now because we knew the wired were where the leaders were and the folks that would help it seem okay for the folks at the plant to be seen using it.
And one thing that we know is very important to a global launch like that are standing up, and you spoke to this already a bit, little C communicators. But the question is, how do you do that in a way that's effective and empowers them to support the communications goals of a corporate, from a corporate perspective, but also the local perspectives? What steps have you taken to help enable those individuals?
Yeah, so we have about a four-week plan now that we use to onboard a new plant with a topic. And so the regional communications team from that region follows this plan. We're working on a playbook where we'll give them either even more information about how to be successful, because again, we realize we're focused so much on adoption, we need to get to engagement. But really, we have a written, like, super easy plan on a page. And I say it's super easy because I'm not the one doing the training anymore, but our communications leads are able to just, first we get clearance from the HR and plant management. So we start at the top, get clearance, do a demo, very friendly, use some of the communication networks we have, which are just real people who are used to sending stories up to corporate. So people at the plants already have a level of trust with them. We let the facility pick two topic managers per plant. So we try to keep it to two. They get an intensive training, which is like maybe an hour max. Most of our topic managers don't even use the studio. They go right through the front end, right? So there's very little training, and we just make it super easy. And I think the convenience factor for them is amazing. A lot of the content is about parking lots closed, or this plant's going to be down at this place, or we're going to be doing a cleaning here. That really practical content that they need is mixed with the global corporate content, and it's really made life easier at the plants because they don't have to be posting as many posters and paper newsletters and all that kind of stuff. They can just throw it in the app.
And I have one more question, then we'll open up to the audience and I'll come down and run the mic around. We have one other mic runner too. And this is something that the two of you touched on, is user-generated content and seeing how that impacted the culture of your organizations. What is your because I think some customers have different philosophies and approaches. Do you just open up for the floodgates for people to publish? Do you have governance in place? Curious to hear the approach that you all have. And Kirsten, if you're okay, can we start with you? What is your approach and why do you have it? And what have you seen user-generated content do for your frontline workforce?
So I would say I don't open it up on every topic. Every topic is not open for everyone to publish their own content. We have certain spaces and certain topics that people are allowed to post content. Our biggest one is probably our people of PMUSA, where they can post whatever they want. We get a lot of questions there. And that is the biggest type of content we get. It's just like they use the note, right? Just ask a question and then they get an answer. We'll also do a lot of contests too. Like if it's a slow news week or we don't have a lot to post, I'll start up some contests. Like, hey, take a selfie of you and your family enjoying this special day that the company did to be entered to win snap points, reward points. And we get that. And actually we just did that last week. And now that's like, if you look at our trending tab, that's all it is people's families enjoying the day.
Yeah. No, that's great. What about you, Connie? What is your approach when it comes to user-generated content?
Yeah, Each of those topics and the different plants are open to anyone to follow. And that kind of went, at least at the time, against what First Up was telling us. And I almost got voted off the island one day at a global comms meeting when all of the team said, we thought all of these were open to everyone so that somebody in Canada could see what somebody in India was doing in a plant. And wow, that really floored me. Like, okay, let's open them all up. So every single one, almost every single one of those 110 topics are open for anyone to follow. So ours is a lot of sharing best practices, huge safety culture, but there's a lot of congratulatory, upbeat messages. In some area, like there, and again, we see different things in different cultures. Like we're like, sorry, but the people in India have so many parties, you know? And it's not that, it's just they love to post the pictures and the togetherness, and they're a very social culture, same as in Brazil, very social. So we're really pushing those topic managers now to try to get more Bungie-related content with the mix of social so that there's a better mix. And the last thing I'll say is I see everything. Right, so like when I go on the app, it's just a hot mess of 110 topics. Most people are following only their own topic or two or three that they're interested in. So I think it's that very, or we think that it's that very relevant content mixed with the global content that they know is coming from corporate, and we allow that user-generated content. People are shocked. They don't think they can do it. And then they do it. And once they do it, it spreads. It's like, it's what they see that it's okay. And they just continue to post great content that we in corporate would never find. And yeah, it's just, it almost creates that feedback loop that poet Ali was talking about.
That's great. Well, let's open up to the audience for questions. If you have a question, oh, wow, look at this. Yeah, we should have started this a little while ago. I'll ask this, if you could say your name and which company or organization you represent, that would be great, because we also want to make sure folks are able to connect among each other. I'm going to come down to help run mics as well. So please, if you could get us started.
Sure. I'm Megan Hartman. I'm with Phillips 66, our Lake Charles, Louisiana refinery. So I was just going to ask you, I saw scavenger hunt on the slide that you had with all the contests and raffles and those good things to get engagement. How did you do a scavenger hunt? I think that would be fun.
That was on my slide. Yeah.
I've done them.
Sometimes I don't know what other folks are doing out there, out in the world. So I find out later, oh, you had a scavenger hunt. Okay, now we'll go look at the metrics. So we're developing a playbook. A lot of the regional comms teams have also talked to the, in the training, in one of those sessions in 4 weeks, we talk about have a contest. Bring some cupcakes, do whatever is relevant in your world area, have some giveaways. And so the way we want to make sure that any scavenger hunts are measurable. So basically we'll try to have people look for one or two things in one or two topics. And then we know that we can measure how many likes or comments or whatever the call to action is. So happy to talk with you out in the hallway about that more specifically, but it's just keeping it small, keeping it simple, and making sure that you can count it at the end. And then we give out prizes the hard way. I took a note in my last session. We need to get like a game of, we need to get like a rewards platform, you know? So if we have to send out a prize around the world, I have to make sure that people in different world areas can send out that prize. So that's a little complicated. Don't forget that if you're global when you're promising gifts, they can be hard to ship.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Tracy from Woodward, an aerospace company. My question is around the state of your mobile policy when you implemented with your frontline. Was it a mature policy? Did you have hurdles with your legal department? Talk a little bit about that.
So they were putting it on their personal phones. So I guess we could have went by like our social media policy. I'm not really quite sure how to answer this one. But they weren't putting it on their company phones. Like our frontline workers don't have that. But
in some states, workers can be compensated
Oh, not in Virginia. We were very clear, like, you will not be compensated for your time.
Oh, yeah. Huge piece at Bungie being global. And yes, our FAQs also say you will not be compensated for anything you're doing on this app, not the Wi-Fi, not the use of your own personal plan. To be super honest, we are still kind of developing our BYOD policy. We just hired a privacy lawyer, thank God, because if you can imagine all the platforms we own, we have to have that. So I'm going to say one thing that's difficult. Getting our frontline workers on is a very difficult process at Bungie. Think of it as if you've gotten a new bank account or a new credit card, sometimes all the steps you have to go through to join the app. We have to do that globally. And one of the things they have to do is say what country they're in and what language they speak, and then they will get a policy with that particular thing. And then they have to opt in. Well, now legal kind of did that. And they're coming back to me going, well, what about Wired? You know, I'm like, oh, come on. So there's always more legal questions, but we have instituted, you have to opt in to the policy if you're non-wired on your own private device. It's hard.
And I'll add to that as well, because we get this question often too, actually just the other day, which our customers, there's usually the terms of use policy available that indicates, that addresses that, the use of the platform. And often it will be included in FAQs, whether or not employees are compensated, which usually is they're not compensated for it. So a lot more legal questions and discussions associated with that, which we can help our customers with on that too. So I know Kelsey has one. Yep, go on.
Hi, I'm Lori Stewart with the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. So this is for Connie. With 110 topics, what kind of guidelines or structure do you have around featured content? So I would imagine if every topic is featuring a piece of content, everybody would see 110 featured posts in a day. So how do you guys manage that?
Yeah, so they only see it as featured if they're following that topic or if it comes up in the trending. But that is a consideration for whether or not we will use the First Up desktop platform as our intranet or as a new homepage for the intranet, because right now Corp Comms has 110% lockdown on the carousel on our intranet. But when you go to First Up, yeah, if I'm following a topic in Brazil and they feature a lot of stuff, even though we tell them not to feature content, that's one thing they are doing, especially Brazil, again, culture. So I end up with a lot of Brazil stuff in my feed, but that's because I'm following it. Although, tell me if that's wrong. Sometimes I forget exactly how every single piece of the content works in the app, but that's something we're trying to work on now, because we already gave up a little bit of control of our intranet. Our intranet has some social piece to it, very little, and the communications teams quickly figured out that other people can communicate for us, but now we have to be careful that we don't think it goes too far in the app with those 110 topics. Yeah, so short answer, we're trying to figure that out. And I'm trying to say, get more okay with that, communicators, right? Because you don't own the messaging. You know, you think you do, but really we don't. Advocacy and all that stuff, we can try to package it, but it can only go so far. And I mean that in a good way.
I'm Jessica, I'm from TE Connectivity. And my question is around the adoption. You know, there's a lot of barriers that, you know, we've referenced in the discussion, cultural, different cultures around the world. Technology based on generation adoption, and then also socioeconomic, whether, you know, people have their own smartphones and things like that. So with all of these barriers, what would you say is the one that you've dealt with the most, and how have you overcome that and seen the success of adoption? But then the second part is not just adoption in one time, like once and done, but sustaining the use of the app. Yeah.
So for us, sustaining, to once getting them in was actually not as hard as I expected it to be, but sustaining the use is what was the biggest struggle. Like, we've done different contests to get them in. The Yeti one, that was actually, you had to be entered into it. You had to sign up for the app, tag the friend in the comments who helped you with the app, Or if you already had First Up at that time and you still wanted the chance to win to get it, you had to like post a picture of a selfie and what you would like to see more of in the app. And that worked really well. But the as far as like regular day-to-day engagement, I would say like I post at least one piece of content a day. So it keeps them coming back because they don't want to miss out on anything. FOMO is real or among the frontline. And just keep them coming back and give them like keeping things in like little bite-sized pieces of information. I've heard other speakers, they talk about those long corporate comms articles. They don't read those all then. Put everything in bite size where they don't have to spend a lot of time, but they can get the information they need. And then the user-generated content really drives people in. They love seeing each other's faces and questions.
Yeah, I actually kind of had a follow-up on what you were asking over there in terms of you know, people not being paid for their time on the app. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to start with name and company. Sorry. I'm Tim. I'm with Ryder, the transportation and logistics company. Half of our workforce does not have email. A lot of people in maintenance shops, a lot of people in warehouses and distribution centers. And one of the challenges that we've run into is you're in a warehouse, our customers themselves, let alone the products that they're selling, are proprietary, so employees can't have phones in the warehouses. It's also a safety issue. You don't want somebody distracted and get run over by a forklift. We're not compensating them for their time on the app, so they don't really want to use the app after work. They're like, no, I'm done working. So we run into this problem where, well, they can't have it at work, and they don't want it after work. How do you bridge that gap to get them on in that very unique situation?
Okay, so I could say that our employees are not allowed to have their cell phones on the floor, on the production floor at all. That's against all of our policies. It's really just the fear of like missing out and wanting to know what other people know. It's the type of content you put in there. It is knowing what they want to know about and knowing your audiences, right? And we also have we have like our main topics, which I manage, but each area also has their own topic. Like this one area in the building has their own topic with their own topic manager, and they put like hyper local information that they might need to do their job. None of it confidential. We don't post anything confidential on the app because it could get out. And it's just really, it's the quality of the information and what they want to see that keeps them coming in. And they'll do it on their lunch and their breaks. Mm-hmm. Some of them go home and they get on it. I can tell by when they're posting things. I'm like, you got off at 3. What are you doing posting at 11 o'clock at night? But they do.
Yeah, and we struggle with that. I mean, if I'm honest, we need to keep bringing new content. And again, I think it's what Kirsten said, the mix at our place of the hyper-local, as I mentioned, didn't really seem to exist, or if it did, it was very old-fashioned. Mixing that with, you know, great global content that helps them understand what the company is doing. But we also lean very heavily on our HR team, who are not all based at plants. We found that out the hard way too. A lot of these plants don't have anybody from HR, the regional HR, but it's a lot of handholding in certain regions. And you know, again, I sound like I'm making a lot of cultural jokes, but the cultural differences just come flying out of the woodwork on something like this, especially in Brazil. They heard again and again, some of the older workers, the older men would say, oh, I can't do this, my daughter does this for me. You know, they use their phone like I wish my kids did to call people, you know? And so they don't use apps. But then again, you know, there are pockets of cultures that are so phone savvy, they just run with this thing, and comms doesn't have to do anything once we get them on there. So it's really vastly different from plant to plant and region to region.
We literally get emails from the wives of the employees saying, can you reset my
husband's app? Right, yeah. I thought it was just an exaggeration until I heard it again and again and again. Yeah.
It's not just us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, one over there.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Jill Hewlings from Blue Origin. We struggle with the same exact thing, actually. And we also have ITAR, trade compliance, like proprietary stuff. So it's, yeah, adoption on the factory floor is challenging. We also struggle with getting interest from folks to become topic managers. We have four internal communicators for 12,000 people. So we can't manage every single topic, but everybody else is tapped and they don't necessarily want to be a topic manager. So like, what was your experience like recruiting topic managers, like getting them interested in like helping the comms team, you know, if they aren't already in the function?
Like, yeah, I mean, I'll just answer that quickly. They are. A lot of times it's the receptionist or the administrative assistant who already is doing newsletters and stuff. And she will see that, oh, wow, it's way easier to say that, you know, parking lot B is going to be asphalted next Tuesday than it is to get that out any other way. And again, if you didn't know, you should have downloaded the app, you know. So, but we have to be careful. We can't put any business critical content in there that, you know, it has to be on another platform. Also, we ask the plant managers to assign them, the topic managers. So, you know, comms doesn't hand select them and tap them. Their boss or boss's boss does, and so they tend to say yes. But I will say, too, one last thing. When we did our first pushes, or we called them sprints, out to the plants, we did choose the nice plants, right? The ones that we know have plant managers that aren't super tapped. We have tons of construction going on. Let's not choose them right now. Choose the ones that are just kind of working, doing their normal stuff. They also tend to be good communicators, and they will, we know historically they will communicate. So, you know, somebody's video recording this, but our plants that are a little more difficult, those were the last ones that we brought on, and some of them honestly still aren't on. Ones with GDPR concerns are not on yet, and ones that we have union negative activity quite a bit. Honestly, they're not on yet. And, you know, we have to grow trust in the platform before we can get to those.
Hello, Alice Riley from Ford Motor Company. Question for you both. As you have multiple digital platforms, how are you thinking about how you use the different platforms, intranet site versus the app, for kind of your content strategy and how you reach audiences?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
For ours, we use First Up as a way to push out to all of our platforms. So it pushes out to the intranet through micro apps. It pushes out to our digital signage. It pushes out to their phones. We use it for email, so we're using it for everything to reach everybody where they are.
That is awesome, and that's what we want to get to, and we're not there yet. So integration is what everyone's asking me about right now, and we're just simply not there yet. So I'm going to talk to you later.
Okay. Hi, Liz Costa with Coca-Cola Consolidated. Question for you is with regard to how you trained the content managers onto this platform, because I can't imagine it was a one size fits all. How did you care for the customizations that were needed with regard to training those content managers on the platform?
Yeah. I can talk to this.
Sure,
too.
Please.
So when I've brought on topic managers and content managers, I've literally just spent 30 minutes with them and just walked them through it. Now, a lot of them are still using Classic Studio, so it was easier. I might have spent a little bit more time with people on new. But they pick it up so quickly. It's not a difficult thing to learn. If they're already trying, if they can send an email, they can post to this. Do they have trouble finding like nice images sometimes and having the right size? Yes. But besides that, they've been very easy to train and work with. Now, I don't have any of our frontline employees that are topic managers. They're all at least supervisor level.
Yeah, and same. We do a demo, and then we train the topic managers very briefly. We give them a couple of days or weeks to play in the platform, and then we go live. Now, and there are settings, like you mentioned, is it open, is it closed, are the workflows, are there not? We walk them through those. We make a recommendation that they just open everything up. But if they want to start with the workflow and approve content and then, you know, get used to that, that's fine too. So, and culturally, each region has communications people, maybe one or two big swaths of regions. They know and trust those communications leads, and that's who they work with. So I showed some of the posters and stuff. All of the training materials, all of that has been translated and localized in country. And I don't care if they change it, as long as they stick to the basic values and how we're doing it. So we allow the communications teams to do that customization as needed. Yep.
Hi, I'm Barb Barkley with the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and we are structured similarly. We have over 130 topics, and we really focused on launching them locally first to really prioritize the local content and local language. But from the beginning, we've always gotten pushback on pushing down our global content directly to those topics. We're just hearing from our regional teams and the plant teams that the frontline workers there just don't really care about it, and it's overwhelming their local news. So I'm curious if you heard that same pushback at all, and if you're customizing what you're sharing with them from Global and Corporate for that audience specifically.
We have a global topic that everybody automatically follows when they join the app. The only other topic they have to follow is one called Go Connect Help, which I manage. Topic managers follow a topic manager's topic where I throw hints and tips out there, and then everyone follows their local topic. Then they can follow whatever they want. So they don't get a lot of noise. We do ask the topic managers to publish 2 times a week. Do you have that kind of cadence?
We are headed that direction.
Yeah, and they don't all do it, but I haven't heard that feedback, but I'm going to ask. That's a good question if we're hearing that. I kind of look at it like you've got, you know, those three different, you know, if you don't want to see the global news, don't look at it. But you do kind of have to actively decide not to look at it. So we're hoping at least they scroll past. And most of the global news is still the number one in the platform. Now, I showed you that quality and food safety. All the stories they published were in the top 5 while that topic, we called that a pop-up topic, so cool. Those stories got more visits than even the global news because it was, you know, a cool campaign. So yeah, that's a good question, and I don't know, do you have that issue?
We do hear that feedback because we started out as just our one local facility with one of the operating companies inside of that facility. So as it grew and they started getting more of the corporate messaging coming down, we did hear a little bit of that in the first, but like Connie said, they scroll past it. I also have a really good relationship with our corporate comms team, and we have, if they think there's anything that might be sensitive to the hourly population across any of the hourly operating companies, we always discuss it first before they put it out there. And we have, there's a couple that they are automatically enrolled to, like Connie, the global one, but then we also have one that none of the hourly can actually see. And it's not to exclude them from information, but it's a lot of times like they have different benefits packages and things like that that we wouldn't put out there for them. So it doesn't get as noisy as one might think.
My name is Alex Serkin. I'm from First Up. My question is for Kirsten. It was great to hear that you are using First Up not just for mobile, and I'm curious if you could speak to digital signage or the web application or email and how they've potentially enriched frontline employees, right? I think folks always think about mobile as a powerful way, certainly, but are any of the other channels helping you to better reach and engage the frontline folks that you're powering through First Up?
Absolutely. Through the digital signage, we go through another third party. We use the micro app created in First Up, which goes through another third party and onto the digital signage all around our facility. And that's just like our standard go-to. That's always been our standard go-to for communications. Oh, just put it up on, it's called ANN, Altria News Network. Just throw that up on ANN. And a lot of people still do rely on ANN to get their messaging because they don't have the app and they don't know their password. But once we did get the email added in, that was actually game-changing. Like, I didn't realize how many of our hourly employees were checking their email. And it's nice because it pushes it out to them where they're going to actually look at it, right? Like, I was really scared to use the Optimize and all of that. I'm like, but then I'll lose all control over when this goes out. And some messages, I do have to turn that off because you need things to go out at a certain time. But it has been, like, game-changing for them to receive the news across the different platforms when they need to, and when First Up determines that they will actually look at it. As far as like the web, it's the web experience. So it feeds to the internet, and that's really more for our salaried population. Our frontline employees aren't really on the internet looking for stories. We have micro apps that feature from a certain topic that just automatically go in different carousels on our internet page. It doesn't populate all the evergreen information on there. It's just rotating stories and events.
So let's take two more questions. I see one behind there. We'll start here and go
right there. Tim from Ryder again. I did have a question for Kirsten on this. I believe you mentioned regarding comments, you kind of really open things up and don't monitor that.
Well, we monitor. Okay. We don't police.
Well, that was, where is that line? Because when we opened comments, we decided that, you know, as long as you're not completely breaking, you know, principles of business conduct, you can complain about us all you want. That was a fight mm-hmm. that we had with HR. Yeah, people are allowed to say negative things, but what level, like, where is that line? Do you use the system's block list for, you know, stopping keywords and that kind of stuff? Or, you know, how do you manage that?
So we've only ever seen the music notes appear twice. and those people had to talk to. Hmm?
Even during COVID?
Yeah, we didn't start it till after, like, towards the tail end. We were July 2021. So the line would be like if they break any kind of policy or code of conduct, which they already have to abide by. When we first started it, we put out some like basic guidelines, right? Like, don't break this, don't break that. Be a good human being, now go create and inspire, right? And we really haven't had that much problems. Like, we might have one troublemaker that gets addressed on a personal level sometimes.
All right, and our last question back here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hillary Young. I'm with Wegmans. Thank you both for sharing so much. This has been so interesting and incredible to hear everybody's different stories and same challenges and everything. So just thank you. Just a quick follow-up with how you train people. And I apologize, you may have said this, but are you training them in the back end for your topic and content managers? Or are they just submitting posts as if they're just an employee submission?
We do both. Some communications teams will show them Studio, and we also are still in Classic for the most part. But our Europe team is the one that discovered, hey, HQ, why are you even bothering with Studio? Because the average person at a plant is just happy with, you know, what they can do from the app or from the desktop if they're pasting something from Microsoft Word. So that's really cut down on our training overhead. I personally train people for the portal, for our intranet. Every single person gets trained by me, and it takes sometimes 2 one-hour sessions. That's insane. I'm never doing that again. And so that's why I love First Up, because it's almost no training. It's more training in, you know, what to communicate, how to communicate, you know, what levers to push and pull, and a little bit about, you know, these are the guidelines, be nice, you know, what she just said so eloquently.
Act right.
yeah.
I only train people in the back end of Studio to be a topic manager, but we do put posts out there, like on the Welcome to WeConnect topic, on how to create your own content. Mm-hmm. And we have videos and tutorials on that, so people learn how to do that on their own.
That's great. And last thing I'll say related to that too is, as a customer, you should have a customer success manager. Encourage you during your alignment meetings, ask questions just like that. Like, how, what type of tips do you have as it relates to training content publishers, et cetera? So, all right, well, that puts us at time. Let's give a round of applause to Connie and Kirsten, please. All right. And before you leave, I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge this. There's a session tomorrow called The Power of Harnessing Data, and we have two panelists here right at the front, Chris and Savannah. Encourage you to attend that one. I've had a couple conversations with them, and their presentations are absolutely amazing. So encourage you to attend that one. But I want to say thank you again for joining us for this session. You have a short break, about 30 minutes, I believe. I think the keynote is at 4 o'clock. And I'm super excited for that discussion about AI. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks again, everyone. Bye.